In the Warren County Radio Bible School, we're looking at the Sermon on the Plain. It's much like the Sermon on the Mount, but this one is recorded in Luke, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, and the Sermon on the Plain in Luke. We call it that because it says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 17, he came down with them and stood on a level place. Well, that's different than Matthew when he went up into a mountain and opened his mouth and taught them. So you have the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain. And he said much the same thing in both sermons. A lot of the things were the same because no doubt he taught these things wherever he went. But now you've heard of the Golden Rule. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today. It's found in Luke chapter 6. And verse 31. Now you probably know the golden rule to be, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's very close to what Jesus said in the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Well, we'll look at Elam's notes on the golden rule in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Let me read to you from this old Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of January the 9th, 1927. This has been called the Golden Rule. Not because it brings one under the rule of gold, but like the golden age of a kingdom, this rule is so excellent that it is compared to the most precious metal. There is a very great difference between the golden rule and the rule of gold. The golden rule lifts men high above selfishness and leads them from the worship of gold to the loving service of men and the worship of God. According to this, no man can cheat, defraud, wrong, oppress, or rob others. It is loving one's neighbor as oneself. It is rendering to all their dues and owing no man anything save to love one another. Romans 13, 7 through 8. It is the royal law. We read about that in the book of James, chapter 2. And verse 8, where James writes, "Howbeit, if ye fulfill the royal law, according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well." Jesus sums up this one rule, all duties man owes to his fellow men. He adds, in Matthew 7 and verse 12, "For this is the law and the prophets." All that is required in the law and the prophets as regards man's duties to others is embraced in this command. This is the way to love men. It is to love itself. It is love itself. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is summed up in this word, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Romans 13, 9 through 10. In all conditions, circumstances, trades, transactions, and associations with others, Jesus means for us to live daily by this rule. He does not mean that we're to do for people what, in their selfishness, greediness, sensuality, and foolish wishes they may ask of us, but that which in justice, righteousness, mercy, and love we would have them do to us were we in their place and they in ours. This rule works two ways. We are not only not to injure others in any way, but really to do something for them, to do unto them as they would have them do unto us. It requires of us not to demand more of others than we're willing to give under similar circumstances. Some people are exacting, but are quite unwilling to do the same themselves. This rule is active. It is something to be and something to do. Many do not kill, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not bear false witness, and on the other hand, they do not do what the Lord says they must do. On the positive, active, aggressive side of Christianity, many fail. But Christians must do more than sinners. We read in Luke chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 32 through 36. And if ye love them that love you, what thank have ye? For even sinners love those that love them. And if ye do good to them that do good to you, what thank have ye? For even sinners do the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? Even sinners lend to sinners, and receive again as much. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend never despairing, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be sons of the Most High, for he is kind toward the unthankful and evil. Be ye merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Aside from the Bible, the highest conception people have of right is to love those who love them and hate those who hate them. Many who profess to be Christians do but little, if any, better than that now. For even sinners love those who love them. The force of Jesus' statement is that those considered the worst and most depraved loved their friends and hated their enemies, and his disciples must do better than these. Doing good to those who do good to them and lending to those who lend in turn to them are practiced by sinners or by any of the people of the world. But Christ's disciples must do more than that. In contrast with the practice of sinners, Jesus adds, "But love your enemies and do them good and lend never despairing." His disciples must not grow weary in well-doing. If they do not, their reward will be great, and they will be sons of the Most High. Loving enemies is essential to being children of God, for he loves his enemies, and those who do not love their enemies are unlike him. God shows his love for his enemies by sending sunshine and rain upon the evil and unjust. All who live in sin are God's enemies. God commendeth his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5 and verse 8. Since God is merciful, his children must be merciful. To be merciful is to treat an offender better than he deserves, to forgive when punishment or penalty could be exacted, also to carry relief, to show kindness, and to extend pity to the needy and suffering. Those who are full of mercy will obtain mercy from men and God. And then we read in the Sermon on the Plain, similar to the way we do on the Sermon on the Mount, "Judge not." Luke chapter 6, 37 and 38. "And judge not, and ye shall not be judged. And condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Release, and ye shall be released. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall they give into your bosom. For with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." Luke 6, 37 and 38. Judging is the opposite of showing mercy. To know men by their fruits is not forbidden. This is not judging men. Unjust, unfair treatment and harsh criticism, in which many indulge here, is forbidden. It is wrong to form opinions, to draw conclusions, and to pass sentence upon anyone before knowing the facts. It is quite sinful to impugn motives and to condemn without giving all the charges an impartial and careful examination. Partiality is prohibited in James 2:1-13. Such judges have evil thoughts, fault-finding, ill will, and rash judgment are condemned. Judging others according to one's own impure motives and wrong intentions is very unchristian. Judge not according to appearance, Jesus said in John 7:24, but then he added, but judge righteous judgment. John 8:15, ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. True, God will render to every man according to his works. But one's deeds are good or bad, as they are in obedience and dependence upon the will of God. It is wrong to condemn others for that which oneself practices. We read in the book of Romans chapter 2:1-3. Wherefore thou art without excuse, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest? For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doth practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that practice such things. And reckon thou this, O man, who judgest them that practice such things, and dost the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? We read again in James 4:11-12. Speak not one against another, brethren. He that speaketh against a brother or judgeth his brother speaketh against the law and judges the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. One only is the lawgiver and judge, even he who is able to save and to destroy. But who art thou that judgest thy neighbor? James 4:11-12. And then Romans chapter 14:13. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge ye this rather, that no man put a stumbling block in his brother's way, or an occasion of falling. We should all be glad that God, and not man, is our judge. Such are man's preferences, prejudices, partiality, and blindness that he would consign to perdition many whom God will save and permit otherwise to enter heaven, in whose character and life are fitted for destruction. Judge not, our Lord said, that ye be not judged. Is the promise based on obedience to the command, judge not? Gentleness, kindness, mercy, forbearance, forgiveness, patience with others, and love brings one into favor with God and man. It is stated as a fact that men will receive the judgment they pass upon others, for God will render to every man according to his works. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. For judgment is without mercy to him that showeth no mercy. Mercy glorieth against judgment, James 2:13. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 6:14-15. As a rule, too, according to their judgment of others, people will be judged by their fellow man, and justly so. The man who thinks everybody is a thief will bear watching. The Pharisees were of the devil, John 8:44, and accused Jesus, therefore, of casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And replied to his accusation, Jesus said, ye are the offspring of vipers.